Good morning, everyone. Today we're reading from Psalm 105, verse 1. So if you'd be turning there, we welcome you, Randall and Grace Jovan, and everyone that's... Good morning, everyone. Glad that you can join us this wonderful spring morning. As you turn to Psalm 105, I hope you can read with us this passage today. Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works, which he has done. His wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. Is the Lord our God, his judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham, and his oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob, a statute to Israel, as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as allotment of your inheritance, when there are few in number, indeed very few, and strangers in it. May God bless this word to us, and we pray, Lord, that Randall and Grace, as they bring that word to us later, that God will bless them too. Thank you.
And so we're glad to be with you again, sending you greetings from the United States in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and all the brethren and American believers who pray for us because we're with you. And greetings from our family. And we have great news from our youngest son, Jonathan, who was married last December and is now ready to become a father, as his wife, Megan, is expecting a child in April. That'll be our 8th grandchild, so praise the Lord for that. And we are your missionary evangelists that travel the world, although the world has not been kind to us because of COVID, and all of our foreign ministry has been canceled and rescheduled here in the United States. Even our upcoming meetings in the Philippines in January have now canceled, and so we'll be going to other churches here in the States. And then supposed to do a 5-month Pacific Island tour of Hawaii and Pohnpei, Micronesia and Japan and Vietnam, Thailand, Cambodia. All that is coming up this next spring, and I pray that we'd be able to fulfill that, because really that's why you're supporting us, and we appreciate your support and your love over the years. Appreciate the friendship of Dr. Wayne Robilliard, Pastor Robilliard, and these days of COVID. And these are discouraging times, and I'll be addressing that in just a moment as to how God would want to minister to us and challenge us through these discouraging, distressing times. But before we have that message, my wife, Grace, will share with us once again a sacred recitation.
I sinned, and straightway, post-haste, Satan flew before the presence of the Most High God and made a railing accusation there. He said, this soul, this life of clay and sod, hath sinned. 'Tis true that she hath named thy name, but I demand her death. For thou hast said, the soul that sinneth, it must die. Shall not thy sentence be performed? Is justice dead? Send now this wretched sinner to her doom. What else can any righteous ruler do? And thus he did accuse me day and night. And every word he spoke of me was true. Then one rose up from God's right hand, before whose glory angels veiled their eyes. He spoke, "Each jot and tittle of the law must be fulfilled. The guilty sinner dies. But wait, suppose her guilt were all transferred to me. Behold my hands, my feet, my side. One day I was made sin for her and died, that she might be presented faultless at thy throne. Then Satan fled away. Full well he knew that he could not prevail against such love. For every word my dear Lord spoke was true."
Amen. Thank you, Grace. That's called My Advocate. It comes from 1 John 2, verse 1. "My little children, I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." So praise God for our advocate, our heavenly lawyer who pleads our case when the devil accuses us before God. But the devil is a loser. His first name is Lou. His last name is Zer. Loser. Revelation 20, verse 10 says that he will be cast into the lake of fire forever. So we look forward to that day when there's no more devil. The Lord Jesus is coming again and set up his kingdom on the earth. So there'll be no more world system. And so the devil is chained. The Lord Jesus is ruling on this earth, but there's still the flesh to deal with. Well, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, once again, we come to the Word of God. Thank you for Hazelbrook, for Central Mountains Baptist Church. Thank you for their love, their support, their kindness through the years. How we're glad to partner together as we seek to reach the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Bless now as we have these words from Psalm 105 that you challenge us with concerning discouraging days. In Christ's name, amen. And so discouragement is the name of the game these days. I'm not sure how it is completely in Australia. Now, we are open in our churches. California is having a little battle, but the rest of the country is very open. We had wonderful meetings last week and the week before. So we have back basically are in our normally scheduled time right now, except next week I had a cancellation in North Carolina. But for the most part, we're open. We're thankful for that. But this COVID thing is discouraging. Wearing masks everywhere here in the United States is discouraging. Many people, because of COVID, have lost their jobs. Not only do we have the pandemic, but the Western United States is on fire. All of Northern Colorado is on fire. Hurricanes coming to the Gulf Coast states of our land and major cities in the United States in flames and violence and riots. We have our elections coming up November 3rd, and we would appreciate our dear Aussie friends praying for us. We are at a critical crossroad in the politics and the life of our country. And this election on November 3rd will be crucial and set a course for the rest of the next 4 years especially. We need God's help. We need the right man voted in office. But that's also very discouraging, at least for Americans. We've got a lot of upheaval, political upheaval that has polarized our nation more than any other time. And so here we are in these days of discouragement, and I know many of you, perhaps, in Australia have been discouraged. Maybe because of COVID, you've lost your job, or maybe there are health concerns, as Pastor mentioned earlier. There was a survey taken by the group called Worth Survey concerning feelings about COVID-19 and the pandemic. 5,000 people were surveyed. 95% of those 5,000 responded with feelings of anxiety, anxiousness. They were overwhelmed, stressed, full of fear and doubt toward the future. So I want to address that from Psalm 105, because many times Israel was distressed. Many times Israel was discouraged, and many times unnecessarily so, because they wouldn't trust in their God. And so the discouragement of the nation of Israel, the unbelief, the doubting, the lack of trust, it plagued the nation of Israel, and sometimes does even God's people today. And so Psalm 105 is a historical psalm that naturally divides itself into three areas of God's faithfulness. That is the key word today and next Sunday. Faithfulness. God is faithful in his promises. God is faithful in his providence. And God is faithful in his provision. So three P's. Now you look like a very intelligent group of people. And so I know you'll never settle for a half of a message, because I'm doing part one today and part two next Sunday from Psalm 105. Today we'll look at God faithful in his promises. Next week we'll look at God faithful in his providence, his sovereignty, his being in control of every situation. And we'll have a lot of things to say about faithful God who orchestrates and carries out his sovereign will in our lives. And then God faithful in his provision. And we'll see the miraculous provisions of God for Israel and what he does for us. But for this morning, God is faithful in his promises. And we need to know he's faithful. I know we say it. I know many, many of you are born again, saved, blood-bought, heaven-bound children of God. We say a lot of things. But sometimes when the going gets rough and we're in the valley of affliction, and we're troubled and turmoil, then sometimes it's more difficult to understand and to say from the depths and the core of our being, God is faithful. And he is. Sometimes our discouragements stem out of a false concept of who God is. And there are some who think that God is a big Santa Claus in the sky. And they just always want to cry, give me, give me, give me, give me. When God doesn't give them what they want when they want it, they get discouraged. They begin to pout. They begin to doubt God's love for them and God's care for them. Others look at God like he is a policeman. They're always on guilt trips, always feeling like any moment the Lord is going to throw them into the prison. Some think that God is bullish. And sits up on a cloud with a big stick just waiting for believers to get out of line so he can crack you one, you know. But all those are false concepts of our God. I want you to see that our God is our Father and that he is faithful, faithful in his promises. Now, we read earlier verses 1-5, and I appreciate even our brother's prayers. He prayed as part of his prayer the first four verses, and I do have a full message in verses 1-5, but because of time this week and next week, I'm going to jump right into verse 6. God is faithful in his promises. Listen as I read this passage again, beginning with verse 6. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever. The word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when they were but a few men in number, yea, very few and strangers in it. So God reminded the nation of Israel of his covenant promises. You remember God chose a man in Genesis chapter 12, Abraham, and said, Abraham, I'm going to make unto you some unconditional covenant promises. I'm going to make your name great, and I'm going to make of you a great nation, and I'm going to give you a land, and through you all the families of the earth will be blessed. And these covenant promises were handed down from Abraham to Isaac, and Isaac to Jacob, and Jacob to the 12 tribes of Israel. And these covenant promises are still in effect today. But Israel didn't always believe that God would keep his promises. Great promise he made in verse 11. Unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. God promised them the land of Canaan, now known as the land of Israel. And so in Numbers chapter 13, Moses sends out the 12 spies from Kadesh Barnea. Search out the land and see what a goodly land it is, and bring us a report those 12 spies, one from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, were gone for 40 days and 40 nights. They returned and gave the report to Moses and the leaders of Israel. 10 of them had a very discouraging, despondent, fearful, doubtful report. And they said, we searched out the land and it is a good land. But there are walled cities in the land. And we saw giants in the land and we were as grasshoppers next to them. There's milk and honey if you can get to it. And so there's no way we can take that land. None. But then there were two, Joshua and Caleb, who saw the very same things. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a realist. Joshua and Caleb saw the same obstacles, but their perspective was so much different. They said, yes, there are obstacles. Yes, there are giants and there are walled cities. But if our God delight in us, he will give us the land. Let us rise up and take it. We are well able to take it. But discouragement is like a contagious disease. You let the pastor of a church get discouraged. Watch what happens as it permeates the body of believers in that church. Let a family member in your home get discouraged and watch how it will bring discouragement to the rest of the family. And so the 2 to 3 million Israelites, they didn't listen to the positive, faith-filled report of Joshua and Caleb. They listened to the negative 10 and began to murmur against God and complain and accuse God. And God was very angry with their depression, lack of faith, and fear. And so he made them turn around and wander in the wilderness for 40 years till all the doubters died off. And so many times God needs to remind us that we are his covenant people as well. I've never counted them all, but I've been told that there are some 30,000 promises in the Bible for us. And Pastor Wayne, I hope you don't mind if I just take a couple minutes on each one of those. No, not really. I'm just teasing you there. But there are amazing promises God has given to us, and that's the bulk of this message. We don't have time for all 30,000 of them, but I want to share a few of them with you. The greatest promise that God ever made was back in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve have plummeted into sin. And they plummeted now the whole human race into sin. And so God comes to them and makes some curses. Curses against the devil. Curses against man and woman. But God speaking out to the devil makes a great promise that we need to know and understand. Way back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, we have the great promise of a savior. One who would come through his own sacrifice, his own death, shed blood and resurrection. He would purchase our salvation. He would bring redemption, justification, reconciliation. You'll be celebrating that tonight in your Lord's table. As the Lord Jesus said, do this. This do in remembrance of me. And so the Lord speaking unto Satan said in Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed, Satan's seed, and her seed. Her seed shall bruise thy head, crush thy head, serpent, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So we have the first prophecy of a coming Savior. We also have the first prophecy of a virgin birth, not only Isaiah 7:14, but here in Genesis 3:15, because it mentions her seed. Women don't have seed. Men have seed. So her seed refers to a virgin birth, miraculous birth, unique birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Savior will come, born of a virgin, lives a perfect, sinless life, and goes to the cross of Calvary and bears our sins in his own body on the tree. And he pays the debt of our sin that we could never pay. Price tag would be way too high. It took a perfect sacrifice, a perfect blood offering. to purchase our salvation and redeem us back to God and reconcile us to him. And that is our lovely Lord Jesus. Great promise that a Savior would come, and a Savior has come. And the Lord Jesus Christ now invites this whole sinful, hell-bound world to come into a relationship with him, to abandon self-righteousness and abandon religiosity, and come as a humble sinner to the cross and embrace the cross and invite the crimson flow of the blood of Christ to cover us and to cleanse us, forgive us, and save us, to embrace fully the Lord Jesus, resurrected Jesus, the one who is alive forevermore and offers freely by his grace this gift of eternal life. But we must come by faith and receive it. And so the promise of salvation, I don't know a more despondent group of people than those that are not saved. Those that are not saved, who have not peace in their soul. They do not have the joy of God, their Savior. I don't know how they watch a television newscast without going into fits of depression. Yes, Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised. God is faithful in his promises, in hope and confident expectation of eternal life, which God, who can't not lie, promised. To claim that promise is eternal life. To reject that promise, refuse that promise, resist that promise, and you die in your sins is eternal damnation in the lake of fire forever. So God made an amazing promise in his faithfulness that he would save our souls if we would but come to him in faith and repentance and believe. The promise is Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. We don't have any righteousness of our own. We believe unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But there's another group of people that are discouraged, that would be despondent. And those are believers who have professed faith in the Lord Jesus, but have doubts. Doubts concerning their salvation. I meet them all the time in my evangelistic ministry, going from church to church to church. They've made profession of faith. But one of the greatest tools of the devil's discouragement is to get people to doubt their salvation, because the devil is a thief and a robber. He wants to rob you of your confidence. He wants to rob you of your joy. He wants to rob you of that intimacy with your Savior. He wants to cause you to have doubts and fears concerning whether you're a true child of God or no. But remember the promise of the assurance of salvation. Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And so if there's any doubts in your mind or your heart concerning whether you have received Jesus Christ as Savior, thus received forgiveness, and thus have received the gift of eternal life, you must settle that. Don't play the game of the proverbial daisy, you know, with the daisy, he loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. One day you think you're saved. The next day you have doubts concerning salvation. And remember, salvation is never based on feelings. There are times you're not going to feel very saved. Sometimes you wake up on the wrong side of the bed and you don't feel saved. But I'm glad that salvation is not based on our feelings. It's based upon the facts and the promises of God's word. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not maybe, not might be, not hopefully, not find out someday. You are saved, and the promise of God is true. And that's why Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. for he is faithful that promised. So waver no longer. Settle this matter in your soul once and for all that you are a genuine child of God. Now your heart will deceive you. The heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things. That's why 1 John 3:20 says, if our heart condemn us, and it will. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Therefore, beloved, let us have confidence in God and in his promises. If you need help in that area, please seek help. Remember to take God at his word. That's what faith is. Your feelings change. The word of God never changes. And the promises of God never change. There's another group of discouraged people, and those are true believers with areas of sin in their lives that they're not confessing or forsaking. Those are despondent, discouraged people. You forfeit that joy of Christ and that intimacy with him when you as a believer choose to sin against God. Before we were saved, we didn't have a choice. We were born in sin, thus we choose to sin. Every one of us, transgressors of the law of God. We don't have a choice before we're saved. We are going to sin. But all of that changed the day you became a born-again, heaven-bound child of God, when the Lord Jesus came inside of you in the person of the Holy Spirit, Galatians 4:6. And the Lord now has given you power. Power over sin you never had before. Power over the devil you never had before. Power over this world system you never had before. We are victorious in Christ. And God has given us every resource and provision whereby we can be overcomers of sin and temptation. We have the victory in Christ. And so, if we choose to sin as believers, we're going to have conviction of the Spirit of God, and we're going to be despondent and prone to discouragement until those things are taken care of. And that's why God gives us promises. God is faithful in his promises, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Notice that's a conditional clause. If we confess our sins. And God knows that we are prone to justify ourselves or rationalize away our sin or make excuses for it. And if we can get away with it, blame somebody else for our sins. And so he has to make it a conditional clause. If we agree with God that what I just thought, what I just said, what I just did, that attitude, that motive, was sin. If we confess our sins, Psalm 32:5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and he forgave me the iniquity of my sin. Seek God's forgiveness as a believer. If there's any area of your life that is sinful or wayward or displeasing or disobedient or unfaithful to the Lord, please restore that fellowship with him. The relationship is not broken. When you got saved, God did make an unconditional covenant relationship with you that is not based upon your behavior. God loves you. But you forfeit his fellowship, you forfeit his intimacy, you forfeit his blessings when as a believer you continue in sin without seeking his forgiveness and restoration to his fellowship. And then there's a final promise I want to share with you before we close this morning. Not only the promise of salvation, not only the promise of the assurance of salvation, and the promise of the forgiveness of sins, but also the promise of answered prayer. There are many, many believers who become discouraged in their prayer lives. Many are so sporadic in their praying. Somehow they've not learned how to get a hold of heaven. Believing that God listens and that he answers. Matthew 21:22, in all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. Believing you shall receive. John 15:7, Jesus said, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Do you believe that? He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Answered prayer is one of the most amazing promises that God ever made. And I remember when I got saved, September 19th, 1976, in the back of the Maranatha Baptist Church in Okinawa, Japan, while I was serving in the United States Air Force. I was saved out of Roman Catholicism. You know, as a Roman Catholic, we never prayed from our heart. We never prayed our own words. We prayed, at least I did, vain repetitions off of what was called a rosary. And there were all of these beads. You hold this one and you say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy work will be done on earth. That is it. Then I go to the next bead. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. I go to the next bead. And I make my way all the way around the beads in vain, memorized, heartless, sometimes mindless praying. And those are just mantras, just like the Buddhists and the Islamic and world religions all have mantras. And I had mine, and my, I got saved. And I could come before my Father. I could come into his presence and pour out my heart and soul with my own words. What a precious commodity is that. And then plus I said I was saved in the military. You know, in the military, you have to follow what's called the chain of command. I couldn't just walk right in to the top general's office and give my petitions to him. I'd have been stopped way down the line. No, I had to first go to my NCOIC, and if I could get through him, I may go to the first sergeant. If I get through him, I can go to the OIC, the officer in charge. Maybe if I get through him, I get to the squadron commander. And if I get through the squadron commander, maybe I can go to the IG or some other higher up. But you had to go through the chain of command, and here I am, a new, born-again, blood-bought, heaven-bound child of God, and I can come directly into the throne room of God 24 hours a day. 7 days a week, his door is always open to me and to you. So let's not be discouraged in our prayer lives. I assure you, God is listening. I assure you, God will answer you. He may not always answer you in your timetable. He may not always answer you in the way that you think he should answer you. But he will answer you. Because God loves you and he cares about you. He enjoins us in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let the devil whisper in your ear, if God really cared for you, you wouldn't be in this medical mess, this financial disaster. You wouldn't be in this financial disaster. You wouldn't have these marriage problems, these children problems. You just wouldn't be there if God really loved you or cared for you. And that is a lie. The devil is the father of lies. And when you're in your lowest moments, in your most discouraging circumstances, the devil will come to you and whisper in your ear, God doesn't really love you or care for you, or you wouldn't be in these problems. And that is not true. Read 1 and 2 Peter. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which are to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Whether it's COVID-19, whether we've lost a job, whether we're in a physical distress, mental distress, whether we're in some kind of work-related, family-related, we are called upon to suffer and to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, 2 Timothy 2. And so take heart and pluck up faith and know that God is faithful in his promises and many, many, many other promises we could bring forth this morning. But do you need to claim the promise of salvation and eternal life? Are you depressed and discouraged and lack faith and doubt and are full of fears because you are not a saved, heaven-bound child of God? Oh, may I assure you, Jesus Christ is waiting for you. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, fellowship with him, dine with him, and he with me. He knocks at the door of your heart. And yes, in the context, he was knocking on the door of a church, but he enjoined individuals in that church. If any man within that church realm would come to me, open the door, invite him into your life, and you will know joy and you will know peace that surpasses all circumstances of the discouraging days in which we're living. Maybe you're needing assurance of salvation today. Will you settle that matter? Get help if need be. Pastor Robilliard is there to help you, others that you can console and confide in, that you're wrestling and struggling with assurance of salvation. How about forgiveness of sin? Are you a wayward believer? Are you backslidden? Are there areas of sin in your life? Things in your life you know are displeasing to the Lord. You've not been obedient or faithful. You will never, ever know that true depth of intimacy and blessing of God until you make that restoration. And then answered prayer. Oh, I wish I had time to give you so many answers to prayer that God has given us over the years. So many. And the first times I was saved, the first month I'm saved, my twin brother gets saved. 8 months after I was saved, both my parents get saved. Led my older brother to Christ, my grandmother to save. Those were main prayer requests when I first got saved, that my family would be saved. I wish I could tell you all the prayers that God has answered concerning all of these 40 years of ministry. God is faithful. Don't doubt him. Don't be discouraged. We have every reason to be encouraged. So let's pray together. Father in heaven, you are faithful. You are so faithful in your promises. And then next week, Father, we want to join together again with Central Mountains Baptist Church concerning your faithfulness in your providence, provision, right from this same psalm. So thank you, Lord, for these moments together around the word with these dear brethren. How I pray your spirit and word have ministered to the hearts of those that have been watching on this Zoom panel. And Lord, we pray that they would seek you for these needs to overcome these discouraging, troublesome, depressing times. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you, and we'll see you next week.